Thank you. Matthew chapter 15. Actually, what I'm going to do before I read chapter 15 is the last few verses of chapter 14. We didn't actually cover those. I didn't preach on those. But verses 34 through 36, I'm just going to read it. It's sort of as a summary and a transition section in the book. It says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. That's up by the Sea of Galilee. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. And because we've already preached on a lot of other sections that are just like this, I'm not really going to kind of say the same things again. But it's Matthew does this a lot in his gospel, where he'll give transitions. This is a summary of, he's not telling you a story of what happened. He's just giving a summary of, in general, what happened. And then it's a transition to the next story in chapter 15. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your traditions, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Okay. So in a setting like this, we can do things like ask questions. And so you might not get that in like a big church sermon. That might be a little tough to swing. But we can swing that here. And so what happens? You tell me what happens.
Sounds like the Pharisees and the scribes are fault finding, kind of being picky.
Okay. Okay. And how?
I think they're trying to show that Jesus and his disciples aren't doing right, especially as far as tradition.
Okay. So they criticize the disciples. And by criticizing the disciples, they're really criticizing Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because the disciples are following Jesus. And so they're aiming, their target is Jesus, even though their target is the disciples. Okay, and what else happens?
Jesus answers them and says, it's like you guys who are forsaking God's commandments.
Okay. Yeah. Jesus sort of turns it on him, doesn't he? Man. It's if you look at it, you should see a contrast. They say, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? Okay. And Jesus turns it and he increases the issue. He says, why do you break the commandments of God. There's, you should see a contrast between traditions and commandments. They're criticizing the disciples of violating some traditions of the culture. And Jesus is turning it around on their heads and saying, you violate the very word of God. This is serious business. I mean, what if today somebody were to talk this way in a church? And somebody were to say, break these, why don't you follow whatever we do? And somebody were to turn it around and say, why don't you follow the word of God? That is exactly what Jesus just did. That wouldn't fly real well, would it, in a church today? That would be, you would be unloving if you did that. I mean, that's what people would say. Anyway, was Jesus unloving? Okay, maybe sometimes you got to talk this way. Maybe there's a time for this type of thing, this type of talk that Jesus is giving to them. The Pharisees, it says, came from Jerusalem in verse 1. And they are probably coming to check out this country rabbi up in Galilee. They've probably been hearing all about him. Oh, Jesus, all the crowds are going to Jesus. They're in Jerusalem. They're hearing the stories. But probably some of the priests and the leaders in Jerusalem sent a delegation up to Galilee to explore and report back. Tell us about this rabbi in Galilee. What's he doing? What's he like? What's he teach? We hear the stories, but we want you to just go and hear for yourself and see for yourself. And so these Pharisees come up there, and they are surprised at what they see, because his disciples don't wash their hands. That shocks them. They're Jews. How can that be? How can you be a Jew and not wash your hands before you eat? It's part of the culture. It's part of their interpretation of the law. It's getting at a purity issue for them. We know that because of Jesus' response later, because he's going to talk about hand washing, and what really defiles you isn't whether you wash your hands or not. And so he's aiming those words at an understanding that's in his culture when he talks that way. And so that's how they think. They think that if you don't wash your hands, you're defiling yourself. And so they're shocked that a Jewish rabbi would actually allow his disciples to not wash their hands before they ate. And so it's part of the culture, it's part of purity, it's part of cleanliness. That's how they saw it. But Jesus sees something very different. He doesn't see that. And he says, oh, we break your traditions? Well, you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions. He's seeing a different thing. And so Jesus is drawing a clear line between the commands of God and the traditions of men, the customs of his culture. And I think we need to draw those lines too. We need to delineate between what is custom and what is the word of God. And not insist that people follow what's merely custom, but do insist that people follow what's the word of God. And so Jesus is saying to these Pharisees, you honor your cultural practices more than you honor the commands of God themselves. And that's a pretty serious criticism to Pharisees, who pride themselves on honoring the word of God. And so he's turning their criticism back on them and making it far more serious. And then he gives an example. He's not just being generic. and saying, you violate the commands of God. He's going to give a very specific example of where they violate the commands of God. And he's going to say, for example, what's the example? You tell me. Yes. And so what is he, just keep going. What's going on?
Well, your beliefs are acted out in how you live your life. And if you're not honoring your parents and cursing them and treating them badly, then that's not honoring God either.
Yes. But he actually gets even more specific. What does he say they were doing to dishonor their parents?
Were they failing to take care of them later when the kids were able to gain and probably prosper and have something that they could give back or could offer
yes.
their parents and help, and they would withhold that.
That's right.
And say it's an offering to God. I'm not going to give it to you.
That's right.
Actually, I don't think they gave it to God either. They kept it for themselves. But
yeah, there was lots of legal ways around that to get to say this is a gift for God, and then kind of funnel some of that back to yourself. And so yeah, that was going on. And so he's specifically talking about money here, and taking care of your parents in their old age. And Jesus is saying, you violate the command of God. It says, honor your father and mother, and he who reviles father and mother shall surely be put to death. But you say that if you say to your parents, what I would have given you is a gift to God, you need not honor your father and mother. Now, that was an actual practice that was going on at the time. And Jesus is pointing out that specific practice and saying that practice violates the command to honor your father and mother, is what Jesus is saying. Let me ask you a question. This just kind of came to me really this morning. Matthew chapter 10. Here's what Jesus says. He says, do not think that I have come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's own enemies will be those of his own household. Jesus said this. Okay. How do you square that with now he is saying, you violate the command of God, because the command of God says you're to honor your father and mother. But earlier, he says, he actually said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. What do you do with that? I'm asking this because I have seen people in the name of loving Jesus more than their parents, dishonor their parents. I've seen that happen. And I don't somehow think that's what Jesus means when he says, a man's own enemies will be those of his household. You know, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I've not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. And then all the examples of the sword deal with the family. So what would you, how would you deal with that? Those two scriptures, how do you process that? Okay, sure.
And in his statement that there will be conflict, he doesn't command that you go and seek conflict.
No, he doesn't.
He identifies that there will be conflict, just as you've noted, when conflict between God's direction and path.
Yeah.
And the parents or the child's or whatever.
It's actually a promise. So, yeah, I mean, when there's a conflict, you know, if the parents go against what God says, you need to go with what God says. You can't violate God's command. And yet, you still have to honor them. And so even in maybe not doing what they say, you have to not do what they say in a way that still shows honor to them and not just blow them off and disrespect them. I've seen believers do that before, and that's not what Jesus is getting at in those verses. And so here, what does honoring your parents mean? In chapter 15.
Taking care of them.
That's not generally what we think of when we think of honoring our parents. Typically, we think of honoring our parents as being something for children, not something for adults. But Jesus is talking to adults. And he's saying to the adults, you're to honor your parents, and part of honoring your parents is to take care of them when they're older. That's really what's going on here. And that's important. We have a responsibility, a biblical responsibility, to take care of our parents when they get old. That's part of honoring them. Okay, so Jesus then says to the Pharisees, we've got the, why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? And then he gives his specific example. And then he says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines the commandments of men. Just hear that for a moment. I mean, don't you kind of step back and say, whoa, Jesus, tone down the rhetoric. You hypocrites. That's what comes out of his mouth. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Wow. To Jesus, if you honor God, you keep his commandments. I hope you see that connection in this section. Jesus is criticizing them for not keeping the commandments. And then he says, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In vain do you worship me. And so the heart, God wants the heart, but the heart is going to keep the commandments. The heart wants the commandments. If your heart is right, you want to keep God's commandments. It's a desire of yours. That doesn't mean you always do it perfectly. We're broken, weak, sinful folks. We mess up all the time. But there should be a direction of the heart that is pursuing the commandments of God, even when we fail. And he's not seeing that in the Pharisees. You do not honor God by disobeying him. And that's part of his criticism for the Pharisees. And you do not honor God by disobeying him, even if what you do is what everybody else does. If you're just kind of following the culture around you, and in doing so, you're disobeying God, that doesn't bring him honor. And so this, what the Pharisees did, I really believe happens all the time today. I mean, it's not, the issues aren't washing hands or not washing hands. That in their culture, that was the issue that we're dealing with right here. Today, there are all kinds of issues that I believe the culture has a certain practice, a certain way of seeing things that violates the command of God. And as Christians, sometimes the temptation is to just kind of go along with the culture and violate the command of God. I mean, so let's consider Jesus talking today. What if Jesus said this? Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your practices? For God said, I hate divorce. But you say, you see where I'm going. Is it that, isn't that the same kind of thing? You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with my lips, but their heart is far from me. How would that fly today? And yet, I look at it, and it seems quite applicable. It's the same idea that's going on. Or, let's go into Asia. Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your practices? For God said, you shall not worship the dead. But you say, well, if it's to keep peace within the family, then it's okay. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you. I mean, we could go on and talk about all kinds of different issues that are modern, contemporary issues in different cultures that I think, if that were the what Jesus was addressing, I think he could address it that way. We could go on and talk about, here in America, things like premarital sex. God said, flee sexual immorality. But you say, well, if they love one another. You hypocrites. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me. I believe, the rejection of biblical roles in marriage. There's a clear command. I see it. It's not ambiguous. It's pretty clear. Well did Isaiah prophesy. Homosexuality? See, we, modern folks, we violate the command of God for the sake of our cultural practices all the time. We do this kind of thing. This isn't just for Pharisees. In many respects, there are a whole lot of 21st century American folks in churches who are just like these Pharisees with a different issue. And we make our cultural practice higher than the command of God. And it should be just the other way around. The command of God is what needs to be higher than our culture. God's word is precious. I mean, Jesus, you see how precious it is to Jesus. He's really lighting into these guys for violating the commands of God. Don't dishonor God's word to hold on to some custom that's just nothing more than a cultural thing. That's a bad trade. That's a really bad trade. In the end, you'll get your custom, but you're going to lose the power of God in doing so. It's also, in the end, to Jesus, the word he uses for the people is, you hypocrites. It's hypocrisy. It would be hypocrisy for someone who claims to be a Christian to honor his culture more than he honors the word of God. That would be hypocrisy. That's what Jesus calls it here. Now, ultimately, the bottom line issue is the heart. That's the bottom line issue. Jesus wants to know, is your religion from the heart, or is your religion just external. See, hand washing isn't a heart issue. Hand washing is just hand washing. It's an outward, put some water on your hands. That's all it is. And so here's how Jesus explains what he just said. Verse 10. I'm just going to read. It says, "And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?'" I bet they were. "He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile anybody." Look at verse 20. He closes the whole section with what? That's right. In other words, we haven't left the topic yet. Verses 10 through 20, he's still talking about the same thing. He's just giving some more explanation about eating, with what defiles you and what doesn't defile you, and their understanding is you don't wash, you're defiled. And he says, no, this doesn't defile you. And so something else defiles you. But this is just, this is who cares stuff to Jesus. And so verse 2 began the whole thing. Verse 20 concludes the whole thing. And everything in between is on the same issue. Jesus also says in verses 10 and 11, what's he saying there? Okay, it's not external stuff. And he gives a specific example of what?
Eating food.
And so he's also saying the food you eat really doesn't defile you. Now, for a Jew, that's a pretty significant statement, considering the Old Testament has some dietary laws. But Jesus is, he's actually declaring all foods clean. Actually, Mark, who records this same incident, says that. Mark says, "And in this, Jesus declared all foods clean," right after what would be verse 11 in this, in Matthew. It's a different verse, obviously, in Mark. But the food you eat doesn't really affect your spiritual life at all. Your spiritual life isn't about food. Look at verse 17. What's he saying about the food that you eat? In verse 17.
It goes in, it comes out.
That's it. Yeah, perfect. It goes in, it comes out. That's all. It just passes through. Literally, it says it goes into the latrine. is actually the literal word Jesus has used there. Today we would call it the toilet. So this means Muslims not eating pork. And Jesus would say, it's immaterial. You can eat pork or not eat pork, or it doesn't make any difference. Hindus not eating beef. Vegetarians. There are some vegetarians who I would consider them spiritual vegetarians. They're not just vegetarians for some health reason. They're vegetarians for there's some kind of, you know, it's a moral reason or something like that. That's Jesus would say, uh-uh. These people, the Muslims and the Hindus and the vegetarians who have all of these foods that they will not eat, understand this. They are no more spiritual for refraining from eating whatever it is they refrain from eating from. Because your food, Jesus says, doesn't, it's just external stuff. Food is an external, just like washing your hands is an external. Food is just food. It does not make you dirty. Here's what makes you dirty, verse 18. Look at verse 18. And then you tell me what makes you dirty.
What is in the heart?
What's in the heart? That makes you dirty. What's outside of you doesn't make you dirty, but what's inside of you, that makes you dirty. That's what Jesus is saying. Inside the heart religion can defile you if it's bad religion. External practices are just practices. Ignoring the command of God is a heart issue. It really is. Preferring your cultural practices above the commandments of God, that's a heart issue. God wants your heart. We sang that, actually. There were several songs this morning that dealt with the heart and God wanting the heart and God coming after the heart and our giving him our heart. And really, that's one of the main themes of this entire section is Jesus is drawing a contrast between the traditions of men and the commandments of God, and he's drawing a contrast between what's just external stuff and what's from the heart. You should see both of those contrasts in this text. They're both there. And so God wants your heart. He doesn't want just some rigid adherence to food laws or a prayer schedule. God wants your heart. He doesn't want excuses for you to do what you want to do in violation of his commands. He wants your heart, which means repentance when we need to repent. It means love. Love is a heart thing. It means love for a Savior who died for you. God wants that. That's important stuff. He wants your heart, which means he wants you to honor his commands, because honoring is a heart issue. He wants your heart. He's not after unwashed hands or washed hands. He's not after gifts at the temple. He's not looking for excuses for divorce or worshiping dead ancestors or whatever it happens to be. He's not looking for that. He wants your heart. He doesn't want your cultural norms. Christianity is countercultural, and it is countercultural in America, and it is countercultural in Korea, and it is countercultural in China, and it is countercultural in the entire Muslim world, and it is countercultural in every other country you want to go to. Christianity is always countercultural. He wants your heart. If you don't give him your heart, Jesus says your religion is kind of worthless. Because that's what it's about. You're missing, you're trading away the important thing in order to have something that's just an external. He says, if you don't give him your heart, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. A religion without the heart is meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. But faith from the heart, now that pleases God.
Mike, may I share something?
Yes, go ahead.
It's so easy to pretend everything's fine on the outside. You go to church and brother asks, how you doing, man? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good. God is good all the time. And so, you know, sometime we wear a mask and hiding what's really going on in the heart. In my case, when I was guilty of that, and praise God that he put people in my path where basically he told me, he had me approach men in the church, starting with my pastor. But I don't know. I guess I know part of it was my fault for just thinking, well, no one asks or no one seems to care, so I'm just going to alienate myself and just do my own thing. And thank God that he helped me initiate. And I actually had to go up to well, first of all, with the pastor and other brothers. And it's like, I have no idea. And thank God that they then came alongside me. So it's just, it's so easy to pretend the heart, our hearts are doing well, and we wear a, you know, we hide behind a facade. And I don't, I think it's the Holy Spirit that puts people on our hearts. Only he knows. But you ask them, how are you doing? And they say everything's is fine, but you can tell that it's, that's not really true. Just, you know, based on their behavior or their mood, their spirit, their, and all I do is I pray for them. And God is the one that then helps them open up and say, hey, I need help.
Thank you. That's good. I'm going to close this way. I passed around some scriptures to you. What I want you to do is take out a pen. I want you to flip that scripture over to the back. And I want you to ask God, what is there a practice where I am violating the command of God for the sake of something else? If that comes to mind, put that on that sheet. I'm not going to ask you to share it with anybody. And then think of this question. If I give my heart to God, what will change in me? And write that down on the back of that scripture. If I give my heart to God, what will change in me? So I'm just going to give you a minute to think and write something down. Okay, whatever it was you wrote down, what I want you to do is pray for God to change that in you. And to consider, as Aaron just mentioned, if there might be one person that you can share that with that will help you. Because we want our religion to be from the heart, because that's what matters. I'm going to ask somebody to close us in prayer. Would someone? I'm going to ask Rich Privat if you would do the honor of closing us in prayer today. Sorry, I think I interrupted you while you were writing.
Father, thank you for looking into our hearts by your Spirit and by your Word. As we think on these things, as we think about the things that come from our mouths because they come from our hearts, bring your cleansing. Reveal where we are defiled because of the way we think, the way we react. Rather than allowing your Spirit to fill and to empower us and to give us love and joy and peace and to have that flow from our hearts. As we go into this week, replace the old and the corrupt with your good and your new, yourself, your Word. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That concludes our time. We have lunch coming here. We'll get it set up and do some lunch.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for coming.